Morning and welcome to the Appropriations Committee on Health and Human Services. I hope you all are having a warm day in Tallahassee. It's a lovely weather today, isn't it? Let's get started, and I'd like to remind everybody, if you have anything that beeps, buzzes, or makes noise, please put it on silent or stun. And if you would like to speak to any of the bills before the committee this morning, please give us an appearance card to turn it in to the sergeant over here, and we will make sure you have the opportunity to speak. We have two bills on the agenda, but let's make sure we have a quorum first. So, Robin, please call the roll.
Chair Harrell.
Here.
Vice Chair Garcia. Here. Senator Avila. Senator Baxley. Senator Book. Senator Broder. Here. Senator Burgess. Senator Burton, Senator Davis, here. Senator Gruters, here. Senator Roussan, here. Senator Simon, here. A quorum is present.
Thank you very much, and let's go ahead and get started. We have two bills before us this morning, so let's go ahead and start with SB 558 by our very own Senator Roussan. You're recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Thank you for agending this bill. Senate Bill 558. Homeless service professionals. As we are all well aware, the housing affordability crisis has fueled an increase in homelessness in many of our communities, straining resources and leaving too many underserved. Senate Bill 558 aims to address the ongoing shortage of professionals in the field of homelessness by certifying individuals with lived experience to help provide those services to others. Current Florida law does not allow individuals with minor nonviolent offenses from being employed by state-contracted Florida Homeless Continuum of Care lead agencies and their homeless services provider network. This bill provides for exemptions under certain circumstances and outlines background screening requirements to allow these individuals to serve. And that's the bill.
Thank you very much for that explanation. Are there questions, members? Do we have any questions? Seeing no questions, we do have an appearance card. Brian Cherry with the Florida Coalition to End Homelessness. And where are you, Brian? Waving in support. Thank you very much. And is there any debate? Any debate? I would just like to say thank you so much for this bill, Senator Roussan. We've learned the value, and certainly through your support and your leadership, of peer support. So by passing this type of legislation, we can establish the same type of mechanism to help those who are homeless. With lived experience, people can help each other to get through a difficult situation. So thank you for this bill. And with that, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I couldn't have done a better closing. I wave close.
Thank you. Robin, please call the roll on SB 558.
Senator Avila, Senator Baxley, yes. Senator Book, yes. Senator Broder, yes. Senator Burgess, yes. Senator Burton, yes. Senator Davis, yes. Senator Gruters, yes. Senator Roussan, yes. Senator Simon, yes. Vice Chair Garcia, yes. Chair Harrell.
Yes, and by your vote, Senate Bill 558 will be reported favorably. Thank you. Great bill. All righty, let's move on to tab 2, and we have CS for SB 564, Young Adult Aftercare Services, by our Vice Chair, Senator Garcia.
Good morning, and thank you so much for this, Madam Chair, and thanks to my fellow senators for hearing this good bill. CS for SB 564 is relating to young adult care aftercare services. It revises eligibility requirements for aftercare services for certain young adults. Young adults who turned 18 in Florida's foster care system are eligible to receive independent living services. Very much needed. Aftercare is one of the programs that young adults who turned 18 while in foster care are eligible to receive until the age of 23. This program is coordinated through the community-based care lead agencies and funded by a mixture of general revenue and federal grant dollars. The services in aftercare are temporary and based on a needs assessment. They're often viewed as a safety net program for former foster youth. This includes services like financial assistance, therapy, and counseling, and other emergency funding to help stabilize a young adult who may be experiencing crisis or other issues. The bill changes the eligibility requirement that requires a young adult to have been in foster care when they turn 18 years of age. Instead, the bill makes eligible any child that spent at least 6 months in foster care after his or her 14th birthday. He or she is now eligible for aftercare services. This change will allow more young adults to have access to critical support after they become adults at 18. And that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions? Seeing no questions, we do have some public testimony. We do have Denny McMillan from Florida PTA and waving in support. Thank you. And we do have Tierra Lamour, who is speaking, I guess, for herself.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to firstly thank Senator Garcia for championing this bill and the committee for your consideration today. My name is Tierra Lamour. I go by T. I'm 23 years old and currently a senior in the BSW program at Florida State University. I'm also a member of the Tallahassee chapter of Florida U-Shine, and I'm here to speak in favor of SB 564. I was placed in foster care when I was just 6 years old and stayed there for about 9 years. I was in multiple types of placements, including group homes and shelters. When I was 15, I met my adoptive parents, and once we finalized the adoption a few months later, I thought that I found my forever family and would never be alone again. Unfortunately, this was not the case at all, and on my 18th birthday, they kicked me out, and I became an unaccompanied homeless youth while I was in my senior year of high school. I was forced to navigate adulthood completely on my own and was ineligible for independent living supports, even though I spent nearly my entire life as a foster child. After my adoptive parents abandoned me, I had no case manager to call, no place to live, or any type of support or love. I was unable to go to prom, take SATs, or do anything students around my age got to do because I didn't know where I would live or eat most nights. I actually had to start college a year later because my focus was on where I would live. I was completely alone and devastated, which is why during this time, my mental health fell drastically. I had fallen victim to multiple forms of self-harm and found myself in and out of mental health facilities, in abusive relationships, and in very dangerous environments. I had absolutely no support, all because I was adopted just 4 months before I turned 16, and this made me ineligible for all DCF aftercare services. Fortunately, I did research on my own, and I was connected with Florida U-Shine during COVID. I was able to connect with my peers who had similar upbringings and mentors who pointed me in the right direction, and I learned that my story is not unheard of, and I'm here today testifying on behalf of my peers who also fall in this gray area. Because of my perseverance and strong desire to not become another failed statistic, I was able to graduate high school on time with a 3.5 GPA, obtain my driver's license, and buy my first car, go on to receive my AA with honors distinction, and I got accepted into all universities I applied to, and now have the opportunity to finish up my last year of undergrad at FSU, all while being homeless and mostly unsupported. So although I had the opportunity to find my way, it would have been significantly easier if I had support there to help me. There are many adopted youth, youth who enter relative care, and others who didn't exactly age out of licensed care who fall in this gray area, and many find themselves chronically homeless, in dangerous environments, and completely hopeless and alone. With the passage of this bill, they would have the opportunity to also not become another failed statistic and to know they are not forgotten. So thank you all for considering this important population of youth who need and deserve support to be able to obtain our dreams, and for allowing me the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you very much. Any further testimony? Is there debate on the bill? Senator Buck in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to thank the chair from Children and Families for always taking the Youth Shine kids and letting them shine. To hear a story like T's is heartwarming, to say the least, and reminds us why we do what we do. And, you know, being in the 25-degree cold weather. But thank you, Madam Chair, both of you for highlighting this bill and allowing us to hear tea today.
Any further debate? Thank you very much for this bill, and you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for tea, you are my inspiration, along with a lot of your peers at Florida Youth Shine. As Maya Angelou would say, I rise. So In summarizing SB 564, it modifies the criteria determining eligibility for aftercare services, giving access to more young adults like T, authorizes the Department of Children and Families to distribute federal funds to eligible young adults in specific circumstances, inducing during a state or national emergency. It has an effective date of July 1st, 2024. The bill also offers critical support to some of our most vulnerable youth in their early adult years so that they don't spend their adult lives recovering from traumatic youth. And that is my bill.
Thank you very much. Please call the roll on Senate Bill, CS for Senate Bill 564.
Senator Avila, Senator Baxley, Senator Book, Senator Broder, Senator Burgess, Senator Burton, Senator Davis, Senator Gruters, Senator Rusan, Senator Simon, Vice Chair Garcia, Chair Harrell.
Yes, and by your vote, CS for SB 564 will be reported favorably. Would anyone like to record a vote that they have missed? Seeing none, is there further business to come before the committee? Seeing none, Senator Garcia moves we adjourn. We are adjourned.